is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The most important thing in life is family. And whenever you need reliable advice, you look to the people you know you can trust. At J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, we earn our clients' trust every day. Whether it's home, motor, travel, or commercial insurance, we've got you covered. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
No, don't try and make your bed look bad. No, sir, don't fool with that.
Big up your bed.
They lie.
Best money yet.
Dine hard gone.
Big up your bed.
Officer say dine hard gone.
Your bed concerned the police was a lie. And there'll be no better luck next time. Someone jealous and will try to mess up her name any given time. This is what happened, y'all. The police did not get run over. She made one phone call and that one was over.
Don't call them.
The police assaulted, that was a big fat lie. Well, Dr. Sands, that's a nice try.
Ah, that's good.
Whenever your opponent get beat.
Good morning.
When they see you.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Thursday, May 26th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host during this open line Thursday. Definitely open line, so that means that whatever's on your mind, Colin, I'll be happy to entertain it, give my commentary on it. So the Minister of Housing is in the news. Social media is accusing her of having an exchange with a police officer. I personally think she's innocent. She said she's innocent, but I want to basically create a story, create a narrative on what may have happened. Right? So I'm going to do that, and I want you to call in and chime in on this story as we have an open line and discuss a number of things, because definitely want to speak one or two things for the budget. I want to also speak about how our Lord, our God and Savior, acts and saves this nation. But I'm very entertained. So if you want to call 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259. So let me start my narrative, start my story. Perhaps. Let's imagine that it's carnival. Everybody wants to see carnival, you know? See the bodies, see the people dancing, see the people have fun. And there is, perhaps, make-believe, a police officer assigned to direct traffic. Block it, have barricades, etc., etc. Let's say, perhaps there is a member of parliament, perhaps a minister, maybe, say, hey, I'm going to meet my husband on the other side of the road, so let me drive through quickly. No, let's imagine. I'm creating this narrative. This is not real, by the way. And let's perhaps she came up to the barricade and greeted the police officer. You know, hey, Mr. Police Officer, I need to get through. And the police officer, oh, no. All right, this barricade, just block off, right? And let's pretend that she perhaps would say, hey, oh, I know the barricade, block off. However, my husband have one parking space over there. And you say, no, it block off. And of course, let's pretend that this particular MP short, like I'm making up the story now, so I need to get creative, right? And like most short people, like myself, you know, I would get short-tempered and say, hey, you know who I is? I say that a lot when people don't realize who I am. I say, you know who I is? And of course, let's pretend that a police officer say, hey, I don't care who you is. You ain't coming through this drive, this barricade. Hold up. This is the pretend MP minister might say, hey, I'm going to make a phone call. I'm going to call your boss. So no, the
perhaps a police officer will put his hand in his kimbo and say, you do that. Let's see what happened. I got special instructions. Nobody come true. I got to use my discretion. And you, for one, ain't coming true here. I don't like you with your nasty attitude. Right? And let's pretend that, I got to make up these things as I go. A minister of national security call and say, let me speak to the officer. I in charge. And the officer say, I ain't talking to him. Only one person could tell me to move any barricade, and it ain't you. So I ain't talking to nobody. So let's pretend that the minister then call maybe a superintendent and say, man, you all have one clown there. That clown ain't understanding the protocol, right? Pretending again in this story. And the supervisor, I get a backtrack to the story, though, because I leave a little part with people getting knocked down. But anyway, the supervisor came and got angry, berate him, shame him in front of everybody. But I'm going to backtrack right now. Let's pretend that my short minister in this story, but I'm making it up, decided to say, man, I'm going to go around you. And as they try to ease to go around you, because he's like, ignore him. He's trying to be difficult, right? And as you try to ease him, you bump him. Not really bump him, no. Not even no hard bump. You know when people walk in front of your car and you say, wait, move. And they walk in front of your car and you get bumped. And you say, see, man, why are you doing this, man? You can't see it trying to get around you. And perhaps a police officer may say, man, you ain't going no place. So that happened like 1, 2, 3. But ain't no real injury. Ain't no buck into them. It's people causing frustration, right? And let's say some of this is real or not real, and that there were people recording and saying, look, you see what's going on, right? Now, I give that story just to give backdrop of what could have been. And now let's talk about this. Can a jabroni police officer stop and direct and give instructions to a sitting minister? That's what my conversation is right now. Now, you know, a minister has a diplomatic immunity. And put that in quotes because you know I know what I'm talking about, right? When they travel abroad on the diplomatic passport, they have rights and privileges because of who they are, right? I believe that if a police officer, defense force officer in this story, come across a minister and the minister say, hey, I know that you have instructions not to let me through, but I am a minister. As a police officer, junior, a jabroni, supposed to say, you know, allow me to help you. You know, I'll give you some liberties because of your professional courtesies to let you go through, but usually we don't let you go through for this, right? This is what happens when you deal with diplomats, deal with ministers, deal with people who are in charge. But for some reason, this police officer decides that, man, I ain't care of giving you any liberties, right? Because it's a small thing. Because if it was an ambulance, if it was a flat tire, if it was a person who we know, the police officer could give the discretion, say, okay, hurry up, go across. So it's not something rigid that he could have not made a quick decision, say, go across the road and quickly park. But because of who you are, I'm going to give you that professional courtesy. Something happened. Something happened to offend, in this story, this police officer, that he felt the need that I ain't moving. I'm going to stand in front of this car. Right? And because he's standing in front of the car, you get bump. Not no hard bump. But continuing the story, we find that the police officer went to get himself checked out because his knee felt bruised, you know, so he went to a good hospital, doctor's hospital in this case. They do x-rays and whatever it is because he get bumped. He get really get bumped, right? Not hard, but bumped. And in this story, let's say the minister of national security, he wanted to speak and give instructions to a police officer. I don't believe the Minister of National Security has that right to speak to no police officer who is carrying out his duty. That's not his job. he don't have a right to give instructions to stop a police officer from doing his job, because that's problematic. And let's say this national security went above and beyond his realm of responsibilities and say, hey, I'm going to demand that you listen to me. And I can fix your business if you don't listen to me. Let's say, I didn't say it happened. I just say, let's say my story, right? And of course, this vexed the police officer, caused him to catch feelings. He said, the idea that you think that you could dictate to me on how to do policing and you ain't no police, you know, you like dictate to people anyway, like prisons and different places. Anyway, I digress. No, I mean that. No, that's not my story, right? Let's say that the police get defensive, because men get defensive, especially when women talking to them any kind of way, you know? And he catch feelings, right? So he decides, hey, man, that woman hurt me. Therefore, I can start this whole rigmarole, whatever it is. And this is so unfortunate. And this is my conclusion of it. As I welcome people to call in and comment on this make-believe story, that if the commission of police, if he was aware of this happening, of course, this, you know what happened? This happened Saturday. We had, let's say he reached the news until like Tuesday, Wednesday, right? So he had time. So definitely he knew about it because the man went to the hospital. If he'd gone and, listen, let me interview. What happened? What's going on? And he said, you know, you are a jabroni police officer and you may not know the rules. We give professional courtesy to ministers, you know. I understand that you were right in your job because I give you instructions. However, in the future, you don't be stopping no minister, hey? If you have an issue with this, call me and then I'll tell you what to do. Or call the superintendent, bay, and I'll tell you what to do. But I also have a concern that as a minister and the police tells you instructions, you ain't coming through. It's not your job to try to drive around him, you know, because you can bump people. It's not your job to be reporting him to no minister. That ain't the minister job. See, that's where we have problems now. These ministers believe they're gods. They can talk to people and say anything to people, you know. And I applaud, even though they're late in my story, that the police association come and to defend their fellow policeman in this story, right? Because they were late. They should have done that earlier, right? Raise concern that perhaps this police officer's job is being threatened. You think it's being threatened? Boy, I knew it. Anyway, I digress. That's not important. But anyway, that's my narrative. Before I start welcoming phone calls, and I have more narratives of different MPs and ministers doing strange things too. So I see the phone line is blinking. I welcome you. Hi, welcome to Guardian Radio AM. This is C.A. Nuri, and we have an open line, and I want to talk. What you have to talk about? Go ahead, caller. Caller, are you there? Kermit, that was no call. So I move right along. I continue with my story. So this texter is actually saying, great show as usual. The same story you are telling, try that Sanrio in the USA and see what happened. This is not the United States, no. This is a different jurisdiction. We have different laws and different protocols. So you calling the police officer a conk or a... Can't say that word on radio. Say, I'm a savage. And I said, no, I'm not calling anyone anything. I'm telling a story. And I say, what could have happened? And I would like to know your opinion on such. Right? I'm a storyteller. So now you're saying the officer is carrying on. So you see, if you're going to text me, you got to text nice stuff. I can't say certain things on the radio. I mean, I appreciate you texting, though. I could add it onto the show. But you got to say decent stuff. So I see, Nuri, I like your take on the story, because that short minister believes she has arrived and don't her work, I miss a word there, in her ministry. She is disgraceful and need to be recalled personally. Texa, I think you're a disgruntled FNM and just trying to diminish people. So I ain't taking that seriously. So, sir, please get it right. The lady was to simply requesting of the officer to see his senior, and she had no authority over the officer. Her best bet was to call the commissioner. And I believe that in my story, perhaps she should have called the commissioner, but she called her counterpart. She had the phone number for her counterpart, another minister. She used that, you know, and it's not like something that haven't happened before. I remember another time under another administration about a issue of corruption in the hospital, and let's say a minister of health, let's see if I can create a story, came across a corruption type thing, and what that minister of health did was call the minister of national security. I find the national security minister is always up in things, and the national security person who they called the commissioner of police or whoever they called, right? And they, in this story, making up, you know, not really real, do basically exactly what this administration is doing, you know? So when you have issues, you definitely call your counterparts. But like I say, for instruction of a junior police, I think that should be done by a senior police officer and not by the Minister of National Security. I am concerned about that. I am concerned about perhaps in the future there are serious cases and that perhaps a Minister of National Security come and direct the scene, a crime scene, and say, well, we need to do things like that. And it's not like we don't have Ministers of National Security who have strong opinions and dictatorial type spirit. Kermit, is that a call over C. Blinken? Because I don't mind talking to somebody. Go ahead, caller. Thank you for your patience. I'm doing well, but you can speak up to me so I can hear you.
How are you today?
I am doing well, and thank you for calling the show.
I have a different take on that particular story according to the information I received.
Remember, this is a makeup story now.
Yes, I understand, but let me ask you a question. I keep hearing you saying a junior officer. He's not a junior because he's either a corporal or a sergeant. He had to be under the force long enough to obtain a rank, okay?
Let's call him a corporal for this conversation.
Yeah, a corporal then. All right. Listen, they also have in the Police Act that you can use the discretion, okay? And you are telling me now, a corporal doesn't know that that's a minister, and the minister told the corporal that her husband had reserved a spot for her. Could he allow her to go through? I understood that the corporal told the minister that there's no PLT coming in here today. So he knew who the minister was.
And I also
understood that the minister asked the corporal for his name and his number, because his number was invisible. Also in the Police Act, the first thing that a police is supposed to do is present his name and number, okay? So he also wasn't following the rules. So give and take in the situation, like the lady said, that at the end of the day, she will be vindicated. So let's just wait and see what happened. And I think the staff association is more out of order than anything else, because if that hasn't been reported to the commissioner of police, who should have made the statement before the staff association did? Because the staff association, it represents the police officers, but that should have been taken to the commissioner of police before it was presented out to the public.
So, caller, well, let's engage. The point where you said no PLP coming this way, that was a spin. That's what we make up on social media to make it sound flavorful. So I hear you, but we made that up, and I understand that. Now, this police officer, the junior one, the corporal, was in the hospital, right? For whatever injuries or seriousness. I mean, if when I was injured on the job, the CEO called, man, this is what they do. So if one of my fellow officers is injured on the job and you hear rumors that a minister may or may not have inflicted it, and you're trying to say that he ain't check, he ain't make a call, he ain't gone and call a senior officer, say, hey, go check on that for me. And now you're saying that the staff association is wrong because they decided to go check? No, man. Basic human resources would suggest, say, yes, man, as your CEO, you should go and check on your staff. That's how you do staff morale, especially now when you have in WhatsApp groups and commentary. So I hear, I won't say I know this for sure, so I hear police officers disgruntled now, vexed, saying some commissioners gotta go, you know, then calling for ministers of national security, gotta go. See, this could have been nipped in the bud if the commissioner got involved earlier and say, I understand your frustration. You know, these things happen inside the police force and are doing our job. However, for the next time, We can learn this as a learning tool, you know, but that didn't happen. That didn't happen. And this is how I'm able to create stories. Kermit, were you able to find that clip? You did? Okay, I want to start the next story. So I'll play that clip so I can start the next story there.
We all got to go. We all got to go. Yeah.
If the need arise, legal action will be taken towards the Minister of the Public Service.
Dozens of finance officers assembling outside the office of the Prime Minister today, demanding State Minister for the Public Service, Pia Glover-Roll, apologize for claiming finance officers in the Ministry of Finance adjusted their salaries without proper approval, resulting in over $4 million being overpaid to them.
We challenge the minister to either prove what she's saying or to retract her statements.
Yes, yes, we, yes, yes, yes.
We challenge her that where the allegations were made, that is the very same domain that she must make her public apology to these hardworking public servants.
Glover-Roll's comments came ahead of the weekly cabinet meeting. At the time, she told reporters the findings came through a recent audit report.
Those finance officers have adjusted the system to ensure that their pay rates were increased based on an approval that they would have gotten that we have not in the public service had any approval or vision of. So basically, normal government procedure in terms of adjusting the pay scales was not observed. This resulted in an overpayment of $4 million+.
Glover-Roll did not say when the salaries were adjusted or how many individuals were involved. She said that both the finance and public service ministries are meeting to determine the way forward. She said the next step is to recover the funds. She assured, though, that consequences will follow.
The $4 million+ of the government's money that they should not have should seek to be recovered. We're not in a position, and it's against policy to allow them to keep the money that isn't necessarily theirs.
Our news team obtained these documents, which revealed cabinet-approved salary increases for financial employees. The first document, titled Revised Career Path and Salary Scales for Accounting and Audit Officers Memorandum by the Minister of Finance, is dated June 19, 2020, and stamped by the Office of the Financial Secretary. It reads, to avoid losing current and prospective professionals to the private sector, the Ministry of Finance recommends that the career path and salary scales of accounting and auditing personnel be upgraded effective January 2020. The second document, dated February 21, 2021, and signed by Permanent Secretary Donella Bodie, says approval was granted for the creation of posts and upgrade of scales for the Treasury Department and internal audit with effect January 1, 2020. Finance Officer Latovia Romer also weighed in, condemning the minister's statement.
Her statement was actually calling us thieves in the public domain, yes. And we demand a public apology.
Yes.
We are hardworking, educated people that works way over and beyond the call of duty.
Reporting for the Guardian News Network, I'm Berthany McDermott.
I listened to that press release, and I think she called you thief for true. I listened to it again and said, oh yeah, they didn't get permission. That means they thief the money, and I see the backpedaling type thing after they realized the word was kind of brash because. How I interpret it, it sounded that way. And you know, and it's unfortunate. But see, this is my concern. These finance officers do not pay themselves. They are creatures of instruction. It is clear that they got instruction and approval to get a pay increase. Now, some protocols and procedures may not have been followed. I'm not saying that the protocols and procedures were followed, no. It may, I mean, the minister has insight, right? So she might know and say, hey, they follow, not even they. The director who's responsible for finance, I think they moved him to central. Never mind. Skip that. I don't want to call any names, right? But it's already said that they got approval. They got the letter. Right? So it does not have anything to do with the workers. The mistake was done by the executives on top. Go and speak to them. Say, hey man, how you all made this mistake? Why y'all didn't do it properly? In fact, let's correct that because these are hard-working, decent Bahamians. Lord have mercy. These are Bahamians who are working. And to come and suggest that they did something untoward, one, and then suggest that they got to pay it back. And you mean pay what money back? What kind of madness this is? I instead of telling people they got to pay the money, you know, almost a year gone. You know how much money they had to pay back? And then they deserved an increase. Then in the same breath, the prime minister come a day later and say, he giving increases too. Everybody getting a raise, right? And now you said, I've been working all this time, waiting on my increments and my pay increase. And now this good, decent lady said, I might have to pay it back because something error, but that was done by administration. But I entitled to the increase. Madness. She owed the people them an apology. I hurt. I offended for them. Because when I see them, I can call them a name. And I can rhyme with thief. Right? But I see I have a caller. I have a caller on the line. Go ahead, Kermit. Just let me hear what the caller got to say.
Hello.
Hi. How are you doing today? Thanks for joining me.
This must be my second time trying to get through to you.
When sorry
you
about that.
When you need to come straight to the vote.
Yes. Yes, I do.
Listen, I call you. So first of all, let me protocol for you. With respect to the police officer. Right? I bet he is a corporal or sergeant or whatever he is. He has a job to do. And no minister or nobody is above the law. You understand me?
What?
Nobody is above the law. It really don't matter in terms of police officer. He was doing his job. That's what I feel, you know. And for you and other callers to be calling and speculating as to what you think may have happened, that ain't good to do, especially in the position what you in. Because of the nation, because you reaching the nation. In other words, you got the airways. Taking the current temperature in the Bahamas with these people who red and some of them who yellow, I wouldn't do no speculating. I would let that thing play out the way it's supposed to play out. That's the first thing. Second thing is, I would really like to commend the Prime Minister. I ain't no PLP, let me say that. Because a lot of them think I is PLP. I ain't no PLP, no FNM. But I would like to commend the Prime Minister on the fact that he listened to us in terms of dialysis situation at EMH.
Amen.
And he mentioned it in the House or in the budget yesterday that they can do some things for the dialysis.
So that's one of the things you like about the budget?
But the reason being because I'm directly affected.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So I guess other people call in and express their views about other stuff. But I would like to personally thank the Prime Minister, Philip Ray David, that situation is dangerous. But like the last caller calling for speculation about the police say this and the police ain't do that, don't allow them kind of things to happen.
And I agree. And I think I corrected him.
Don't allow that.
I think I corrected him and say that.
What you should have done was pull a dowel on him. You should have cut him.
Oh my.
But anyway, thanks for taking my call.
And I appreciate that. And good luck with the dialysis thing. Blessings. And I hear you, caller, regarding that no one can dictate to a police officer whilst he's carrying on his duty. And I appreciate that. I'm not saying you're wrong or anything. I was told that if a police officer has arrested somebody or determined that the person has broken the law, right, his job is to take them to the police, and not the police, to the station. And whatever happens after that, in terms that if a senior police officer said, read the notes and say, okay, this don't make no sense, you can leave, or whatever political influence happens after that, that can be had. But I'm saying that in this case, or in this particular story, the officer had discretion, and his discretion should have considered that the person who he was dealing with was a minister. Right? And he could have cautioned the minister and said, I'm going to use my discretion. Right? And usually you're not allowed, but because of your position, because of the protocols, and because of courtesy, I'm going to let you quickly do that, Miss Minister. Right? And apparently he didn't decide not to. Now he coming over to the hospital and making up a story that he get hit, foot broke, and foot ain't broke because he up for work. Anyway, adding things to the story where it doesn't make sense. I see I have another caller there, Kermit. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm enjoying the show, actually. I love your beginning music.
Oh, wasn't it nice?
The music that you started with. The Behemoths are so talented.
Yes, and Solo Maid needs to be heralded more because he's a social commentator and he records the story in the life of General Behemoths.
Yes. But my thing with the minister and the officer, if it happened, was that they're saying that he did not know who she... If I see those ministers, and I saw one the other day, and I did not know who it was.
Yes.
Until someone said to me, oh, do you know that is so-and-so? I said, oh, no, I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
So I could... And the police are just regular people like you and I. Do you, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So he is saying that he didn't know who she was.
Yes.
So to me, if she asked him, do you know who I am?
Yes.
And he said, no, ma'am, it doesn't matter. Then she should have said, okay, my name is so-and-so.
Then
I think that would have made a difference.
Caller, let me engage you and let's add to that this story because I love how you did that narrative. Let's say he did not know who she was. And let's say, for a fact, that she said, you know who I is? And of course, as a typical woman and good woman and strong and progressive, I is Minister so-and-so. What do you think the police should have said then?
Had she said that?
Yes, if
I
she said it.
He would have said.
No, let's say that she said it for a fact. Let's say she said it for a fact.
Okay, if she said that, I think he would have said, oh, I do apologize, ma'am, but this was the rules that I was given. However, because you are so-and-so, I believe that you won't go any further than you say you're going, and I will allow you to pass.
See?
That's how I feel.
You're a decent woman, ma'am. See? And smart, right? And that's my point I'm trying to make. That apparently something went wrong.
Because she didn't say who she was. I don't believe she said who she was, because at the end of the day, he is still saying he don't know who she is. He probably know her if he see her again, but he don't know who she is. So obviously, even his union people are saying he did not identify her.
I would say that too, after the fact.
He did not know who she was.
Yeah, and like I said, I would have said that too, after the fact, to add to my story. But she's one of the most popular MPs, I mean, ministers that we have.
She is, because I think she's more controversial than anything between us, Dr. Gravel. But yeah. In any event, yes, because of the housing situation. However, I still feel like she should have, just like a policeman walking into your home.
Yeah.
And do you know who I am? No. Tell me who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So then I would make a better judgment call on how to deal with you.
But before you go, you do believe in professional courtesy being afforded to ministers. If that had happened, same scenario, makeup story. And would you, as a police officer, say, okay, go ahead, quickly?
Yes. Listen, I am none of those persons. And I have came across roadblocks before.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to the officer, I said, oh, I'm so sorry. So I said, I didn't know you always doing this. But however, I only want to go right there.
Mm-hmm.
Right there.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you sure you ain't going any further? No, sir, I'm not going. Go ahead.
See?
So I've gotten that good, and I am a regular person.
Yes.
With a minimum wage paying job.
You make minimum wage?
I can't tell you that.
Okay. I get concerned. I was going to help you out. Say, man, yeah. Call me up after this. I'm going to bring me a resume because you sound too smart to be making no minimum wage. You know?
But at the end of the day, I feel like had she properly identified herself.
Yes.
And then I also thought about it, you know, because I don't like to take nobody at their word.
Mm-hmm.
So him saying, or they saying he got knocked. I felt like...
you might get tapped.
She pulled off, and probably in her being already irritated with the fact that she didn't know who she was.
Uh-huh.
I felt like she could have rolled over and didn't realize.
Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah, I can also see that happen, and that's why she's saying she didn't do it, because I could actually see her doing that and not realizing that that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
X-ray can prove that.
I feel like that was going to come out.
Yeah, we shall see. We shall see.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for your call. And I hope to hear you again. I want to show again tomorrow. Is that another caller there, Kermit?
Yes, good morning, Mr. New. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm telling stories this morning.
Yeah, but, you know, it's a great show. And so I could appreciate the last caller. You know, see, this will show you why females are smarter than us. They think different from us. Now, you know, to have blind trust in anything or anybody is naive. You know, we as Negroes, we trust too much the status quo. That's our downfall. We are naive. And so I've had many encounters with law officials, right? I remember an encounter about 22 years ago, by the Shell gas station by the College of the Bahamas, right? In which an officer had asked me inside the food area if I knew who he was because I was saying something about the price of a cigar. And so he asked, when I moved away from the counter, and I was wearing a necktie, I was on the job, and I was walking out of the building. So he asked if I knew who he was, and I said, Aman. Now, he was in plain clothes. He didn't produce any ID, and I walked up, and he grabbed me, and me and him ended up in a fight, right? We eventually ended up on the ground, and him and another plain clothes officer, they ganged me. So people say, man, you all let this little bony nigga do the to you all like that, and guess what? It was a fight.
Mm-hmm.
Now, supposedly they kill me. Right. I didn't know who he was, so what I'm saying is the arrogance. See, the scenario with Minister Pia Glover-Roll, that's her name. I don't know her, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I kind of like leaning on her side because I have been accused of so many things, and I've seen the arrogance of officers. If I had a camera in my shop, and I show you the way old policemen approached you the other day for a young man who was innocent but just wearing an ankle bracelet, which they're supposed to be knowing where he is, and I call him inside to help me lift some furniture, and they came like, I's a criminal, because I wouldn't give information as to where he was. They slammed my door, and in during the process, yuck up a big scissors, and they got gun, and they like they want to threaten me. I'm supposed to be intimidated by them. So they have to be trained. They are very arrogant. And this highlights this incident between Pierre Glover-Roll and the officer. This highlights the fact that they need to have cameras on them. So I'm not siding until you show me the camera work. And so the lady who called previously just now, she showed how it should have been handled. There's no need for us to be hating one another. There's no need to be hating on the minister, because I've been accused of things, and I wouldn't even talk about what all they get liable, that they have lied about with me, even with ID parades and all. So no one is a saint, and no one is infallible when it comes to the law. And that's where we're going wrong. There's a caller called sometime yesterday or the day before and said, we hate ourselves. He used it. That's a reflexive pronoun. We hate one another, because I don't hate myself. We hate one another, and that's the way how I see the Negroes living on the global plantation. And we love the deification of politicians and people, all right? And we have forgotten the Father, God the Creator. Bless up.
Bless up. I just want to make a correction. I know you use Pierre Glover name three times and associate with the story, but it was not her. My good cousin was involved with the union and the pay increase of the finance officers. But that's a different story altogether and not involved with the police officer there. So I wanted to correct you there. I'm not sure if anyone noticed how our God works in mysterious ways. The other day, they released a pedophile who was convicted and served a minimum amount of sentence the other day. And they said that he's a threat to the nation, caused all kind of panic and frustration. And I remember saying, Lord, how is this happening? I said, Lord, I pray unto you to fix it, Lord. Fix this, because this can't be happening. And less than a week later, our Lord fix it. Now I don't have to worry about that problem no more. I ain't concerned no more. Our God is a good God. And may our God be praised. Right? I'm not sure. Oh, that's a phone again. Patch that phone through before I start this next one. Go ahead, caller. I have so much to talk to you about. Go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead. I can hear you.
Yeah. Sorry for calling, but listen, that's the problem with this country right now. We see wrong, and we try our best to fix it up and pretty it up and make it right. You understand me? That is the biggest problem with this nation, and if we can get this nation right, we got to do what we need to do to right this thing. Now, I hear you saying the police didn't use his discretion. That's not true. See, discretion goes both ways, you know. He could have used it for the positive of that situation, or he could have said, no, ma'am, you can't go. That's using his discretion. It just ain't work out in favor of whoever that is or whoever that was. That's not a correct statement to say he didn't use his discretion. Of course he did.
I yield, caller.
You understand?
Oh, and I appreciate that, and that was a great point. You said, it must be noted that what the police officer did was enforcing, what the police officer was enforcing was not the law, because it wasn't the law. It was just instructions given to him. So it's not fair to say that the minister isn't above the law because she wasn't breaking any law. I can imagine me driving through one police roadblock and see what happens to me. Yeah, that makes no sense. I'm wondering if anyone see that the unions head are fighting again. The TUC chief, Obi Ferguson, is damning and dismissing the BPSU chief, Kingsley Ferguson. So Ferguson, I sure it's got to be one Auckland's Crooked Island versus Exuma Ferguson thing. They can't be the same type Ferguson. And I'm concerned, and I didn't send a clip about it, but I am concerned about the verbiage used by OB Ferguson. And basically it said that since y'all didn't join up with us and sang in the memo of memorandum with the government or the opposition at the time, you do not deserve to get any benefits. You and your union. Right? These Bohemians, you know, Bohemian workers. OB Ferguson is a trade unionist who fight for the workers. But he blatantly say that those that who don't support me or who ain't part of my union ain't supposed to get no benefits at all. I have a problem with that. If it was me, I marching with OB no more. I having a different parade. It's going to be two parade. I marching on Blue Road and y'all going to march on East Street because that baby ain't for no, he ain't no good trade unionist. The type of words he used was anti-union. Like, he forget who he is. Any minute now, I expect another director job be given to somebody. Watch. I have another caller there. Greg, patch that person through. Oh, sorry about that taking so long. But it looks like I have another caller there, too. Kirk, patch that person through here.
Hello, yeah, you take long, but it's okay.
Sorry about that, man.
Yeah, this is the blind one, Papa. Listen, Obi's my boy. I know him way longer than I know. What's my name?
Kingsley Ferguson, yeah. Call him Ferguson versus Ferguson.
Huh?
Ferguson versus Ferguson. Go ahead.
But listen, I agree with what you were saying just now, but how you carry on. Obi's my boy, but it will be dead wrong with this one. See, the Prime Minister, PLPs, FNMs, and all the unions. Obi, you're a little wrong. I know you fight for people's rights and workers' rights and stuff like that. You're a lawyer. Kingsley mightn't be a lawyer. And Kingsley might be having to... All he's doing is defending the workers' them. Even if the ladies' them do what the global rules say and some correction need to be paid, it'll be paid. But them civil servants, especially these people in the Treasury, they see so much foolishness happening over the years with this one, friends, families, and lovers making all this big money. When they got the opportunity, they fight for their rights to get their raise. It ain't like they do it on their own. The former government do it for them. You understand? $4 million is a lot, right? But look at all the other rest of money we're being messing up. You understand what I'm saying? So I think we'll be wrong with this. And he need to remember union solidarity forever. They don't need.
He forget that. Step. He forgot that. And I believe his membership need to remind him.
Don't go way back there to march separately. Don't encourage that, right? Because they fight hard to march together, right? They need to keep together. Remember solidarity forever, right? And stop talking foolishness and don't get beside yourself. Obi, don't forget to hire the monkey climb. You show you where and you show yourself off. Don't be foolish like that. Listen to me. The police officer, you touch every topic in this little hour. You need 1-2 hours or your own show.
I need 2 hours, eh?
Hey, the officer, he should have a camcorder on him. No one is above the law, all right? Yes, some officers need training. They conduct themselves wrong, right? But listen to me. What this woman name?
You don't got to call no names. Go ahead.
Minister of Transport, man. The Minister of Transport.
Go ahead.
Right? Yeah, she's a good MP. She helping people from all over the place. I think the majority of us right-thinking Bohemian, we like her action and work. But some of these politicians, they carry on like they arrive. They have a stink attitude. No one is above the law. I don't care who you is. If you missing that officer or whatever, listen to me. The bottom line, what I'm saying, if she touched that officer, he could be a corporal, inspector, or whatever. He could be a PLP or FNM. If she's wrong in any which way, bring the hammer down on her.
No, my Lego.
Set an example. Don't be talking foolishness, but because you're a damn minister.
No, you can't be saying those words. But thank you very much, Cole. I see the passion. You can't be saying those words on the show. They can say, as a bad host. But I appreciate that. Have a next caller there? Go ahead, caller.
I know this is Dory Sparky here.
Go ahead, Sparky.
You know, Mr. Dory, sometimes we got to think about this safety. Somehow, for a little small country like this, and a population right in one little island, the smallest island, we got to find a way to change some things. You know, most of our policemen don't really want to be policemen, you know.
Oh, okay.
If you find out where they came from, then most of them come from the inner city.
What are you trying to say about the inner city?
Hello?
Are you listening? Go ahead.
Most of them come from the inner city. Most of them ain't graduated from no high school or nothing with no degree or nothing like that. That ain't no career that they wanted. Most of the big-time officers might have some degrees that they studied later on after leaving school because they wanted to get promoted. But most of these fellas joined the police force because they couldn't find no job nowhere else.
I ain't see the point.
They couldn't qualify nowhere else. Then they know how to leave, then where do they go back to live?
Okay.
They live straight to the same corner with the fellas who they've arrested every evening live. Mm-hmm. Hello?
I'm here. I'm listening.
Most of them live through the same color corner. This is that. They've met the fellas them who they're running on every night live. When they take out the uniform, they can still walk to the corner with nasty boys.
I live in color corner. Go ahead.
And let me tell you something, Mrs. Murray. This two-part story here. Yesterday, I was with one of our behemoths, great gentleman. I call it Mr. Forrester Bull from Exuma.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about people can't farm up on top of a hill because only rock up there. Mm-hmm. Forrester Bull lives off of some Carmichael Road up on top of a hill. And I went to Haley, my deceased brother's friend, and to Haley to go look for some plants.
Yeah, we talking about plants.
Up on top of this hill, the man got onions growing, pumpkins growing, guavas growing, all kind of trees growing on top of the hill. Right?
Go ahead, Sparky.
And he was telling me, Mr. No, if you're producer, give me a moment there. He was telling me some things that behemoths that call in to talk, so we do more complaining than anything else. We don't do no action.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's time we need to do action now.
Amen.
We talk about behemoths don't want farm. I want a farm. I've been trying to get farmland from Mr. Pillars and farm. I finally got some farmland off of Cumber. Blessed Road the other day.
Lincoln Bean? Go ahead.
The thing is, Mr. Norris, we can't get to the farm.
Mm-hmm.
The true road, you need a dog on a backhoe or a tractor to get through there.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go through there, no car. You break up your car. You can't get to your property. The property ain't surveyed. The property ain't cleared down yet. So we can get there with our surveyor, clear it down, so we can start farming now. Let's thank God for some of the farmers on Cowbend Road who've been doing farming for a long time, and they got their act together.
Mm-hmm.
They do the thing every Saturday down on Glanson Road by the farmer's market and show their produce and everything. But you know what the man told me yesterday?
We
the behemoths only talking, but they're working. If you go down Glanson, Carmichael Road, Cowbend Road, any day,
mm-hmm.
you got a line of doggone stalls with Haitians selling farm products. And these people are supposed to have no land.
They have a good planting, though. Go ahead.
But they're selling all kinds of medicine, everything, a long line of people down there. Illegal people in our country coming, taking the land, farming the land, selling stuff to us, and they buy no land.
Thank you very much, Sparky. I appreciate that. I hear the passion. I hear the passion, and there is a concern, and hoping that immigration does their job. And it's a new day government, so you can see that all those things you're complaining about will be rectified. I'm sure that was also in the budget, right? But I see I only have 3 minutes, so let me run through everything. I see I have a call, and I want a caller's talking, though. Pass the caller. Pass the caller through. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, listen, I want to share a story with you.
Yeah.
Let me play the one said.
Go ahead.
Say to you, as relates to the president of the BPSU, I think he was correct in not aligning himself with that memorandum of understanding simply because he represents the public service. Had he done that and FNF had won the government,
mm-hmm.
there would have been a bad relationship between he and the government.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he did the right thing in remaining independent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's number one. I will give you a story about a police officer, what I witnessed.
Mm-hmm.
When Gigi Hanna was Gigi, he was driving a little S10 truck in the Foxhill area on a Saturday around noon,
mm-hmm.
and the truck ran hot. And he actually fetched the truck across into the gas station by Esso, and he was opening up the radiator cap trying to get the water into it. An off-duty police officer in an unmarked police vehicle saw him, came over to assist him, and tried to put him in the police vehicle. He said he ain't going to be in the police vehicle. He want to drive his truck back to where he's going. Police officer said to him, look here, the only person that could tell me I can leave you here is the commissioner of police. You blame me, I'll let the commissioner of police tell me don't take you. So he called the commissioner of police. Green lives commissioner at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And Green said, told him to deliver him to government house. I said to say, whether he was a minister of a government or not, there's certain powers the police have that they could enforce on any person, any citizen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it is expected of them to display some level of courtesies to you
mm-hmm.
if it's done in the right way. I'm not speaking that into it. I know nothing but that into it. I just wanted to tell you the power of a police officer.
And
only the commissioner of police or their commander could give them certain instructions.
And I appreciate that. And I accept your point, too. That's why I'm concerned about ministers, in my story, ministers of national security trying to tell police officers what to do. I'm uneasy with that. Something got to be done. Correct that, you know. You could advise commissioners. But you can't be telling police officers how to police. That ain't your job, you know? I also want to mention, did anyone see the picture of all those acronyms together, those senior acronyms? I see there was a picture of Mr. Brent Simonet, Hubert Ingram, Hubert Minnis, Michael Pintard, Shenandoah Cartwright, some big senior acronym. I heard that Minnis and Ingram was driving inside the same car. What's going on? Is a bounce back? I found that entertaining, right? Last week, I see it running out of time, I see that the DPP had to apologize to the chief magistrate. I found that entertaining. Apparently, there was some kind of when you get like official document signed charging that the magistrate went to visit somebody. And the magistrate said, no, she ain't visited nobody. And basically, it made her suggested that she wasn't telling the truth. And DPP quickly understand that what he did was wrong, and he apologized. I found that entertaining. I found that entertaining, and I thought that should have had more media play than it had. And I want to mention that. So I'm going to take this last caller now. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Mr. Nuri.
Hi, man.
I mean, and let's be real, right? In about a minute, I have to say something. Why persons like your last caller couldn't see these things when they were the government or part of the government? You know, Mr. Nuri, it really, well, it's politics. But, you know, what has made me as a person who lives in a country is that when these people in government, they don't never see nothing, you know, until they are the government. But you have a nice day, my brother.
Yeah, man, I appreciate the call. Let's see if anyone else there. I have one more. Well, that's it. Okay, that's good. You know, it has been an interesting week. All kind of things that needs to be fleshed out on talk shows and inside the media, right? I see that the nurses and the teachers are going to get a bonus and a pay increase, even though the minister said that the finance people have got to pay back their increased money, but see, that don't make no sense. I see that 10% of the revenue collected from Family Island land taxes is going to be spent in the Family Islands. That's $200 million. That's something to praise about. I mean, this budget made me feel good. But then again, all budgets make me feel good. And then at the end, some things never get to be done. So I shall, the pudding looking good doesn't mean that it tastes good. The proof is in the tasting of the pudding, or the proof is in the eating of the pudding, as they say. You know, so I'm waiting to see all these things be implemented. I hope that this is going to be a good 5 years. I encourage this administration and this minister to do a splendid job. We as the people must encourage our government. And I wait to see what great things they have in store for us. This has been another Guardian Radio in the AM. My name again is C.A. Nuri. And thank you very much for listening to me. And as I tell some stories, have a wonderful day.